Hello, welcome. My name is Sally. I'm part of the Chichester site, if you are part of Haven and are thinking, who on earth is this woman? And hello, it's nice to meet you. As Steve has already said, we're carrying on our I Am series this morning. And I just want to encourage you, through the worship, you know, the contributions that were brought, all tie in to what I'd planned to preach today. So I really, you know, God is here. God is speaking. So, you know, have open hearts and be ready to receive what he wants to say to you this morning. Okay, so I don't know, some people here might be too young, but I don't know if anyone here remembers the film The Labyrinth. Yeah. Gemma does, that's good. it was a David Bowie film. And in that film, there is a famous scene where this girl, Sarah, her younger brother has been kidnapped by some evil elf king thing, David Bowie, and she's going to rescue him. And she sets off through the labyrinth to try and rescue her little brother. And she reaches two doors on her journey, and they both have a guard in front of them, and she's told that one of the doors leads to the castle where she needs to get to find her brother, and the other door leads to certain death. Dun, dun, dun. You have to do that after you say certain death. And so the problem is she can only ask one of the guards which way she needs to go. And in a moment of sheer wit, she works out that if she asks one guard, what would he say, as in the other guard, that your door leads to the castle? She works out that whatever answer she gets, she'll know which door it is. And it's a riddle I have not been able to work out my entire life, and I had to Google it this week to try and work it out again. But anyway, has finding the right path in life ever been so tricky and fraught with certain death? Dun, dun, dun. Thank you. Good. And, you know, for us, in our lives, how do we find the right path? And where is our destination? How can we trust we found the correct path and avoid lies that would seek to throw us off the course? Well, fortunately, the I Am statement from Jesus today has some clearer directions and a promise of eternal life rather than certain death. Good. Thank you. Okay, let's read the verses. They're John 14, 1 to 14. I put them up on the screen. If you could click them through for me, because I'm going to read from an actual paper Bible. Okay, it's entitled Jesus Comforts His Disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am going. You know the way to the place where I am going. That's Jesus speaking. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?
The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So I'm going to concentrate specifically today on the sixth I am statement that we're looking at. And that is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This statement is huge because Jesus knew he was about to go to the cross. He was about to make a way for the disciples to follow, and they needed to know how to get there because it was a journey that would take them the rest of their lives, and it was not a journey without challenge. Life, you know, is a journey, and we all face challenges along the way. And all of us this morning are journeying this morning through our lives. We've all stopped off to hang out together, worship God, but we're all here journeying through life together. But what is the right path, and where are we going? These are important questions because they dictate the journey and the destination. Jesus states ahead of his journey, that is, to the cross, to the grave, raised back to life and ascending to the Father in heaven, and ahead of the journey of the disciples, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's look at how these are vital for the journey that we all have in front of us. So firstly, the way. What did Jesus mean? Well, we have to go back very briefly to the beginning of time. The moment Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of the world. Adam and Eve had sinned. Sin had entered the world. It says, so the Lord God banished him, that was Adam, from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, and also the woman Eve, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Humans had sinned, and the way back to God, to that close relationship, to that intimacy, was now blocked. There was no way that humans could come into God's presence or obtain eternal life, because there was simply no way for us to earn our way back to God. But God had a plan. You see, there was a debt to pay for our sin, and the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And God didn't want us separated from him for all eternity. So Jesus provided that way for us. He went to the cross. He died for the sins of all humanity, was buried. But as he himself was without sin, he was raised to life again. Death couldn't hold him. And through dying for our sin, he has made a way for us to be made right with the Father. You can see he fills the gap between us, pays for our sin, and makes a way for us to go to God. He's made a way for us to be made right with the Father, and we now have eternal life and direct access to God. Jesus is the way. In the passage we read, there's no other reason for Jesus to leave his disciples other than to ensure he can prepare a place for them. And not only the disciples, but for us as well. He has gone to prepare a place for all who believe. Jesus wants us to be with him. If Jesus had not left, there would be no way for us to be able to spend eternity with him. He is the way. But what about other religions? Jesus doesn't say that he is one way. He doesn't say he's a way. He says he is the way, the only way. Now, I want to bring to life a story, if you will. Bring it out for us. Don't unveil it. If my volunteers can come up, I've pre-prepared three volunteers who I'd like to bring forward. We've got Derek, Gemma. She didn't really want to volunteer, but she's volunteered. And who? Oh, Toby. That's it. Come up. Come on up, guys. So if you make your way over to this thing, and I need this thing. I can't remember the name for anything. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so we're blindfolding the volunteers. For anyone listening at home, three stooges have come up. It's not a free gift. Are you right there, Derek? When I timed this preach at home, I didn't allow for people who couldn't put on blindfolds. I apologize now. Right, are we all blindfolded?
Yeah.
Derek, I like your technique. Excellent. Yeah, unveil. Unveil for the audience to see. We have an animal with us this morning. It doesn't kick or bite. You're okay. And what we're going to do, if we can bring it forward, just a little bit. That's it. And I'm going to get Toby. Just come over here. That's it. It's a walk of faith. That's it. It's done there. And Derek, I'm going to just guide you over to the middle here. Excellent. And just stand there. Perfect. And Gemma, just move you slightly to the side. Perfect. That's it. Right. Okay. We are going to get these three people to examine this animal. And they are going to tell me exactly what this animal feels like. So they're going to tell me what this animal is like based on what they can feel. So Gemma, I'll just get your hand here. So here's a piece of... There we go. So what is this animal based... What is this animal like based on what you can feel?
It's bumpy and quite hard.
Bumpy and quite hard. Okie dokie. Right, Derek, I'm just going to get your hand. Let's pop this forward. Don't push too hard because he's shy. But if you can just feel there. If you could tell me what this animal is like based on what you can feel.
It's got little spots over it. It's got a line going down. Is that just the edge of the... I don't know.
That's just my craft work.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It feels quite...
Does he feel flat?
Well, flat.
Excellent.
But it's coarse.
Excellent. Thank you, Derek. Right, okay, and then Toby, if we just get your hand... Don't pull too hard. It's a sensitive part. And if you can tell me what this animal is like based on what you can feel. What does it feel like?
This feels like a tail. It's kind of like a... Yeah, sort of long and thin and with a sort of tassel on the end.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so what they have done is with their limited view, they have told us what they think this animal is like. Guys, you can take off your blindfolds now and see the animal that you were exploring. Is indeed Eddie the elephant. Excellent, give them a round of applause. You may sit back down. Thank you for helping me. So what we saw in that demonstration, and you may have heard this story before, is that those three blindfolded people were trying to describe an animal based on their own limited experience. And the world would put forward an argument that all the different religions in the world, including Christianity, are just basically like one of the blindfolded men, and that they're just trying to explain life, or in this case, the elephant, in their own limited experience. But this is wrong. You might have heard as well the saying, well, all roads lead to God. That's not what Jesus teaches. You see, there's one more person in this story of the three people and the elephant, and that is the sighted person telling the story. the sighted person that knows all and sees all, and I like to call him Jesus. Jesus created the elephant. Jesus created everything. By him, all things were made. Jesus doesn't give us room to think that any other religions lead to God. He states it here that it is only through him. As Phil Moore writes, should we ask directions from Buddha, who died from dysentery and was cremated, from Muhammad, who died of fever in the arms of one of his dozen wives and then was buried in a grave to rot there? Or should we not rather ask directions from the one who proved he is the way, the truth, and the life by passing through the gate ahead of us and then returning so that he can lead us on? Jesus said, I am the way. The only work you need to do is to believe in Jesus. But isn't this offensive? Yeah. But followers of other religions are not written off. Jesus is not telling us to malign people who don't believe in him. We are to witness to them, not rudely, but with compassion and love, just as we would witness to anybody else. The only way the Muslim couple in your road is going to get to God and to eternal life is if you tell them about Jesus. The only way the woman in your office who practices Buddhism is going to get to heaven and eternal life is through Jesus, if you tell her about him. But it's hard, isn't it? We don't want to offend. And the Bible tells us to have our conversations seasoned with salt, just the right amount. To some, the gospel provokes offense, but to others, it provokes them to believe. Jesus is the way, but what direction is your life heading in? Where is your destination going to be? If you're a Christian, how is your journey going? Are you growing in Christ? Are you teachable? Are you open to what God is doing to make you more like his son? And if you're not a Christian here this morning, then what is the direction of your life? And have you thought about the trajectory after this physical life ends? Jesus' offer is open to all, no matter your current belief system. But he will not compromise on truth. And that leads us to the second part of the statement, the truth. So we are on a journey. We are journeying through life. But how do we know that it's the right journey? How do we know that the turn we are about to make doesn't lead to certain death? Thank you. Well, let's think about what truth is. Let's have a look at what truth is. Firstly, let's look at what I would call worldly truth. What does the world consider to be truth? Whatever you want it to be. The world encourages you to speak your truth. This makes truth something that's different for everyone. It's often driven by our fleshy desires and the things we selfishly want with little consideration or cost to the consequences. And the world calls it following your heart. You want that cake? You deserve it. You want that dress or car? Get a loan, make it happen. You want to have an affair? Do it. You have to follow your heart after all. The trouble with this kind of truth is that it leaves in its wake harm and devastation in varying degrees. And the Bible points out that following your heart truth is problematic. In Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I know I've certainly been lied to by my heart on many occasions. You know, the lies of this world bring unrest in your soul because they are outside of your control, but are entirely dependent on you to achieve. There is so much peace to be found in God's truth because it exists outside of your control, but is not dependent on you at all. We also have another issue. We have the lies of the enemy. We have the devil. The devil has his version of truth. It's called lies. The Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. His main aim is to confuse and mess up the lives of humans, to prevent them from being saved, or interfere with the lives of Christians, to stall them in their growth or their maturity. His lies are based on just a little grain of truth, and they're masses of deception to hook you in and trap you. So what are some of these lies that we are talking about from the world or from the enemy? Well, let's go through some examples. Here we are, lies. You must look a certain way. Preferably, I guess, in our society, you must be thin. You must be toned with muscle, but not too much. Tanned, perfect hair, perfect teeth. Otherwise, off to Turkey, get those turkey teeth. You must have money to be happy. That's a big one in our society. You must have money, and then you will be happy. But the other one, mix with the right people to get ahead. Don't be seen with anybody who's going to bring down your reputation. And it can come into the church as well, because we can want to be with the right people, the people that we see who are in charge. We just invite them round for lunch. We won't invite, you know, the family who come in with the difficult children, because that's too messy. What does God say? Biblical truth says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. About happiness, you can't serve both God and money. Jesus can meet all your needs. And lastly, I can't read it, joy is available. We've sung about that this morning, haven't we? Joy is available through the Holy Spirit. And joy is not dependent on your circumstances or how much money you have. And lastly, as for mixing with the right people, Jesus went to the sick, the houses of tax collectors for dinner. Basically, he mixed with all the social outcasts, and he is our example. The only one that you need to know to be significant is Jesus, King of the world. So that's the lies of the world, our heart, and the enemy all working against us. And as if that wasn't enough, we also have another little problem with the truth. Let me give you a little scenario. I'd like you to try and solve this as quickly as you can. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Thank you. There's a lot of participation this morning. Okay, a bat and a ball bought together cost £1.10. The bat costs £1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? 10p. 10p. What did I hear over there? 5p. We got a 5p and a lot of 10p's. The answer is 5p. Well done, that person in the back. Everyone's going, what? How is it 5p? The answer is not 10p, it's 5, because the bat is £1.05, exactly £1 more than the ball, and added together, this is £1.10. If you are having problems with that this morning, I wrote it and I had a lot of problems with it. I didn't make it up, but I was writing it down. And that is because our brains do something called heuristic thinking, fast brain thinking. And it's automatic, kind of in our subconscious. And it just happens. And our brain's like, no, it's 10p. And we're like, is it? So our brains are actually a problem sometimes as well with deciphering information and working out what is the right thing in a situation. And I think these days we're even lazier. To not do heuristic thinking takes much more cognitive effort. And with social media, I think we are all too willing to accept what we see in a 30-second video rather than really look at what it is about and whether it is truth. So our untrustworthy brains, our wayward hearts, our flesh, the world around us, the lies of the enemy, all make it really difficult to discern what is truth. Praise God that Jesus is truth. He's not just a truth, he's the truth. And what he said is true. Jesus said he would be raised again following his crucifixion, and he was. And there were witnesses to that resurrection. If those who had opposed Jesus really wanted to disprove the resurrection, then they could have done so. And the way of life recommended by a carpenter in some eastern country, wherever it is, showing my poor geography skills, wouldn't have reached worldwide. But Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended to the Father. You know, the original Greek for the word truth that's used in this passage, it also can mean divine revelation. So as well as being truth, Jesus is the divine revelation, the truth about who God is. In Jesus, the love and compassion of God and the holiness of God is revealed through him dying for us and making a way for us to come into God's presence. He's the only one who could have done anything to help us. And this divine revelation is echoed in the verses that we read when Jesus says that if you really know him, you know the Father as well. Jesus is the ultimate truth for us to live by. And the Bible makes it clear that we either live under God's truth and what he has declared to be true, the best way to live, or we exchange it for a lie. It says in Romans, there it is. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Jesus is truth. It is his character. It is who he is. He cannot be anything else. One of my favorite verses in Numbers, God is not human that he should lie. And in the book of Amos, it says this, "This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Amos?' 'A plumb line,' I replied. Then the Lord said, 'Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people in Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam.'" A plumb line finds the exact true vertical line and is often used in construction. I have a picture. Here is one against a wall. A string and then a heavy weight on the end. And when you hang it, it cannot show you anything else other than the true vertical line. Unless you shake it around, unless you manipulate it. The people of Israel in the Old Testament were found wanting because they had left the truth of God and exchanged it for their own truth, which was no truth at all. And the verdict was damning. There is only one truth, one true plumb line, and his name is Jesus. And we can measure our life, the journey we are on, against Jesus, the ultimate plumb line, to know if the direction we are heading in is right. So how do we do that? There's two ways. Firstly, we have the Bible. In the Psalms it says, "All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal." We believe that the Bible is God-breathed, inspired by God, written down by human authors. It is our written down authority on what God says is true. So no matter how society or culture changes, God's word remains true. And then we have the Holy Spirit. John says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus sent his Spirit to fill our hearts and minds, and we can keep seeking to be filled by the Spirit daily, bringing our situations before him in prayer, allowing the Spirit to guide us, and he promises to guide us into all truth. 2 Corinthians says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What are the arguments and the pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God? They're the lies that we just looked at. And note that the battle for truth is in our minds. We don't attack people. Jesus commanded us to love people, even those who would consider themselves our enemies. So what's your truth? What's your truth this morning? Where do you get your truth from? Where have you been lied to? Where have you lied to yourself? It's easy to tell when you've lied to yourself because you feel like you need to keep justifying all your actions. And let's move on to the last part, the life. Jesus says that he is the life. And last week we heard excellently from Jonathan how Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you haven't heard that, I would encourage you to go to the downloads and listen to that. You know, we need something to sustain us on this journey that we are on. And more than that, we need a life source for beyond this physical life that we have now. Life is one thing that humans have no cure for. I remember I once read a quote that said, conception has 100% fatality rate. There is no cure. Basically, from the moment you are conceived, you are dying. Once a life begins, there's 100% probability it's going to end in death. And the world has some options. Number one, denial. Live for now, don't think about tomorrow. Number two, science, researching cures and treatments. These are all good things, but eventually you will be told that you are beyond medical help, and then the problem's with you, not with science. Thirdly, the world can offer you the illusion of control. If we can't stop death, then maybe you could be at least in charge of when it happens. And then fourthly, you've got other religions or New Age experiences. You can continue to live how you want and don't have to be accountable to anyone, but just tick some boxes and maybe you might have a chance at something after this life. No. Only Christianity offers a hope after death. Only Jesus has made a way. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus, and he brings life. And he was there at the creation of the world. He was involved in your creation of your physical life. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And Christian or not, you are only breathing here this morning because God enables you to. And now he offers spiritual life. Has enabled you to have eternal life through dying for your sin on the cross and lives to intercede for you. Jesus created life. He brings life. He is life. And remember that when we believed in Jesus and trusted him as our Savior, we became a new creation. We started the spiritual, eternal life that we will continue. We started it at that moment and it will continue after our physical death. If you're a Christian here this morning, you're already living it. And if you were really honest with yourself this morning, what would you say are the things that you need for a good life? What are the things that sustain you? As Christians, we can all say the right answer. We can all say, oh, well, all I need for a good life is Jesus. But a quick self-assessment for any of us will reveal that there are other things that we feel are fundamental to our lives to make them good. And maybe they're things that have become a bit too important. You can reveal them by thinking about what you give your time or your thoughts or your money to. And in a moment, we're going to pray, and there'll be a chance to respond personally if you'd like to. We are all, Christian or otherwise, on a journey through life. But what is your destination? One path, Jesus, does lead to eternal life. The other to a permanent death and separation from God. In a way, all roads do lead to God, to our Father God, because no matter what you believe, we will all one day stand in front of our Father God and be judged. And either you will claim Jesus to pay for your sin, or you will have to pay for it yourself and be eternally separated from God. It's a hard truth, but if you want to know the assurance of your destination this morning and give your life to Christ, you can come forward at the end and you can leave here in peace. Jesus is everything you need for life's journey. You need to know how to get to your destination. You need something true that will ensure you stay on that way, and you need sustenance, a source to sustain you. To obtain life to the full, to get eternal life, it's all there in Christ. He is the way. We are to follow him. He is the truth. We hold up everything to the only true plumb line to ensure we stay on the right way. Inopportune moment to lose my point. And he sustains us and provides life for us. We can follow him in confidence, knowing that he has gone ahead to prepare a place for us and will come back for us. If we could have the band up, please. In our passage today, right at the beginning, Jesus told the disciples to not let their hearts be troubled. And while I was preparing this, I just felt God highlight that to me. It's not something that's kind of mainly come up in the preach, but I just want to pick that up at the end. The disciples had troubled hearts because Jesus was telling them he was leaving. And we have many troubled hearts in our society today, and we call it anxiety. Anxiety is often the result of lies and can disrupt our journey of faith. And I believe he's going to deal with anxious hearts this morning. Anxiety is something I've struggled with, and even recently I've felt some anxiety, and God revealed the source of that to me so that he could deal with it. And I believe he wants to do that for some of you this morning. And I also want to offer prayer as well to those who may have felt things coming up during the preach, like the direction of your life being off, lies creeping in, or seeking life from things other than God. And also, lastly, if you want to give your life to Jesus and receive eternal life, then you can come up too during this last song. Once we start singing this song, if I could ask some Grace Group leaders just to come and be available over in that corner for anybody who would like prayer, and then you know there's someone who's going to pray for you. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll return to worship. Lord, we worship you here this morning as the only true God and only Saviour. Thank you for going ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Thank you for giving us eternal life when we submitted our lives to you. And help us to continue on with you as the source of our lives. We are sorry when we have let you down. I'm sorry when I have let you down, Lord Jesus. When we've allowed our hearts to dictate our direction in life or look to other things to sustain us. And we thank you that we can come to you, Jesus, receive your forgiveness, and you continue to lead us on. We proclaim you here this morning as our true King and Saviour, and we worship you here in this place. Amen.